What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Thursday, February 8th, 2018. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Except if you're a trader on Wall Street, because it's not been a very good day. The market's just now closing. The Dow went down over 1,000. And it really was accelerating toward the close there. And everybody's trying to find a reason. Bond fears, rate fears, everything. But it looks like the bubble is bursting here. We'll have more about that a little bit later in the show. Meanwhile, our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in the control room ready to answer the phone when you call on in. And let's get into the news, because there's a lot going on here. And obviously, the stock market is a big part of it. But there is a breaking story here regarding Uranium-1. Now, you remember a while back, there was this story about an FBI informant who had been forced to sign a nondisclosure agreement over at the Department of Justice under then Attorney General Loretta Lynch. And a lot of people said, why did this have to be done? And was it even legal? And as it turned out, it wasn't legal. And finally, the members of Congress have been able to talk to this gentleman. Now, the informant is named Douglas Campbell, and apparently he's not afraid of testifying right now. Apparently he's got cancer. He's just gone through all of these radiation treatments. And it's one thing when you know that you're about to die anyway, all of a sudden fear of somebody doing something to you sort of goes away. So basically he's out there and he's already testified before. It's either three or four different congressional committees talking about the pay for play of Uranium One, and basically saying that Russia hired this public relations firm that they knew could get in touch with Hillary Clinton, and basically were making donations to the Clinton Charitable Foundation to sort of facilitate the Uranium One deal. Pay for play. It's about as corrupt as you can get. And this informant is out there saying that, yeah, this was a very corrupt deal that wound up with Russia acquiring rights to mine 20% of America's uranium ore. Now, of course, Democrats are out there saying, oh, this informant's a liar, he's a kook, he's a nut, he's an alcoholic. But the documentation is all there. The records of the Clinton Foundation show this money coming in from Russian sources, something like $30 million. It's all documented. And so now the Democrats are going to scream about, we have to get rid of his testimony, we have to block it, it's inadmissible. So there's going to be a fight. They're going to try and make this guy's credibility the story rather than what he's saying. But he's providing a lot of details about what was going on. And this guy is out there saying the Obama administration was neck deep in this whole Uranium One mess. Hillary Clinton was the focus. But apparently this informant was told that Barack Obama was being briefed on what was going on with the Uranium One deal. And he knew it was illegal, and he did absolutely nothing. So that one is heating up yet again. Devin Nunes is now out there saying that they have clear proof that it was Hillary Clinton's campaign that colluded with the Russians against Donald Trump. And he was on the Sean Hannity program. And Hannity is saying, you've done a great service. The American people need to know about this, because fundamentally we had an effort to undermine our election and then undermine an incoming president. And Nunes said, yeah, that's exactly what was going on. They've got the proof. We saw it ourselves, 2016, the way they sabotaged Bernie Sanders. They literally stole the nomination away from him, and then they tried to steal the election for Hillary Clinton, and they came up short. And now it's all coming out. It's coming on out. It's slow but sure. This is all coming out, and the American people are learning a lesson about the kind of characters who seek political power in our nation. Now, do you remember when they were back trying to get that FISA warrant, and they went before the FISA court with one of the dodgy dossiers, the one that came through Fusion GPS, and they also came on in with this story from Yahoo News, which they said corroborates the information in the Fusion GPS dossier. Well, it didn't really, because Christopher Steele was the source for both the dossier and the Yahoo article. And it turns out that the author of the Yahoo News article that was held aloft as corroboration was secretly working with the Democratic National Committee. And this was revealed in an email published by WikiLeaks. And basically it said that Michael Isikoff, who was the author of the Yahoo News article, was secretly working with the DNC. So it's just one, it's a conspiracy, is exactly what it is. It was a conspiracy to overthrow a sitting president. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Judicial Watch, once again, has had to sue the Department of Justice because the Department of Justice is refusing to honor a Freedom of Information Act request. And basically, Judicial Watch is saying the American people have a right to see how the Obama administration justified spying on the Trump team. And we do. We do have a right to see exactly what was going on, just as we had a right to learn how Richard Nixon was spying on all those Democrats during Watergate. Remember, those people in government, they work for us. We're their bosses. They are our employees, and they have no right, first of all, to cheat the game, and second of all, to use the instruments of our government to keep us from finding out. Now, Tom Fitton is basically unleashing on Obama amid the new FBI text message firestorm, which seems to indicate that Obama was directly linked in with the FBI's operation to exonerate Hillary Clinton. And Tom Fitton is saying FISA wasn't the only way the Obama gang spied on Trump. And apparently he is correct, because a story out of Citizen Free Press is saying that more than 100 Trump campaign ads and associates were unmasked and surveilled. This is now becoming a Watergate-sized scandal, and there's a lot more coming on out. Now, the other day we were talking about the fact that, given the fact that the FISA warrant was obtained fraudulently, the FISA judge should have by now issued a statement rescinding the warrant and declaring it invalid. Hasn't happened. What's going on? Well, it turns out there are 11 judges on the FISA court, 10 of whom were appointed by Barack Obama, including the judge who had to recuse himself after the Michael Flynn plea. Also including the Judge Rudolph Contreras that granted the FISA warrant after another judge rejected it. They just kept going on back until he got a judge who would go along with this thing. So basically, at this point, Fox News is reporting what we already knew, or presumed to be true. Obama did know what was going on. Obama knew that the FBI was planning to exonerate Hillary Clinton and her email server, and we know why Obama was involved. Now, publicly, he said he wasn't going to get involved in the investigation, but these text messages proved he was being briefed on a daily basis as to what was going on. And by the way, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, they actually got bonuses when the investigation was over into Hillary Clinton's email server. Job well done. You know, we got her off the hook. Here's some extra money. So Obama knew. Now, the reason I think Obama was heavily involved in this and probably was ultimately calling the shots, it came on out that, contrary to Obama's claim that he didn't know anything about the illegal email server until it was reported on the TV news, it turns out that using a pseudonym, he had been communicating with Hillary Clinton through that weak private email server, including the transmission of classified information, which means that Barack Obama himself was in violation of provisions of Title 18, the same as Hillary. If Hillary went down for Title 18, Obama would follow her. Now, as you know, it has come on out that there was a second dossier claiming to have damaging information on Donald Trump. And I guess they wanted to have multiple dossiers to make it look like these were independent, verifiable sources. But they all track back to the Democrats. They all track back to the Clinton campaign. Excuse me. They all track back to Clinton associates as the source of this information. And Clinton money paid for it all. And a lot of people are now starting to look at Clinton confidant Sidney Blumenthal as a source for that second Trump dossier. His name keeps popping up over and over again. And a lot of people were very concerned that Blumenthal was feeding information for an FBI investigation on the Trump campaign. And the Washington Post Tuesday reported that Christopher Steele gave the FBI a report in October 2016 that he received from a State Department employee about Trump and Russia. And now it's looking like that information was coming from the Clinton campaign from Sidney Blumenthal. And there's a lot of names in there. What the process is called is data laundering. It's like money laundering. You want to get a piece of data someplace, but you don't want it to be obvious where it came from. So you'll pass it off to this person who passes it off to that person who sends it over to this person who sends it over to that person to build up this huge multi-layered chain. So you don't know really where it originated, only where you're being told it came from. So the Guardian is basically coming on up saying that this second dossier was compiled by Cody Shearer, who the Guardian identifies as a controversial political activist and former journalist who was close to the Clinton White House in the 1990s. And I kept hearing the name over and over again. So apparently he's the one who put this together and then gave it to Sidney Blumenthal to take over to somebody at the State Department, blah, 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 blah. That's how this is all coming on out. But it's all a bunch of lies. Now, Louis Gohmert is basically saying it's time for a release of the transcripts of the hearing before the FISA judge where the FISA warrant was granted to see what, if any, falsehoods were being made by the presenters to the court. And basically saying that if anybody lied to that judge, and we know they were, that this could mean 6 months in jail for Obama officials. Now, this comes out of the category of rats leaving a sinking ship. David Laufman is a federal prosecutor, and in 2014, he became the chief of the National Security Division's Counterintelligence and Export Control Section. And he was the man who helped oversee the probe of Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server and the supposed Russian interference in the 2016 election. He has now resigned. He's getting out of Dodge. He's abandoning the sinking ship. He's saying he's leaving for personal reasons, meaning he wants to be as far away from Washington, D.C. as he can when the bovine excrement hits the ventilation system. And we're going to see a lot more of these mid-level players. They know how these things happen. The people at the top, the people who are the real criminals, they'll save themselves by throwing underlings under the bus. And this guy obviously doesn't want a treadmark on his forehead, so he's getting out of Dodge as fast as he can. Another little comment found in the FBI texts. We were telling the other day about the comment about people who refused to vote for Andrew McCabe's wife were dumb hillbillies. Well, apparently a comment directed at Bernie Sanders supporters, stupid, blank, I'm sorry, they're idiots. Just in complete and utter disdain for anybody who's not in their elite little circle. Now, of course, extreme arrogance is actually almost part of the FBI's corporate culture. Each of these intelligence agencies, they sort of have their own culture, if you will. And the FBI tends to be arrogant and bullying. CIA prides itself on formal politeness and honorifics. NSA, of course, that's the geek squad. And so forth and so on. Now, about a month ago, there was an article that ran commenting on the fact that the judge in the Imran Awan case, and this judge was appointed by Barack Obama, keeps delaying this trial over and over and over again. It keeps vanishing from the court docket. This has been going on for 5 months. And so people are asking, why does this Obama crony judge keep postponing the trial? Are they just trying to open up a window where he can flee to Pakistan, where his co-defendant and wife have already left with the blessing of the FBI? She was allowed to leave. She didn't even sneak out. Now, the current trial date is set someplace in March. This is something like 5 or 6 continuances. And this U.S. District Court Judge Tanya Chutkan is basically preventing this from ever going to trial. You have to ask why. Well, obviously, I have a theory. Now, you already know that I suspect that Hillary Clinton was running an espionage operation out of the State Department, selling U.S. secrets to foreign interests, using her weak private email server to deliver the material, and her charitable foundation to collect and launder the money. We also know that one of the reasons Imran Awan is in serious trouble is that his little IT company that got the contract to maintain computers in the Capitol building was caught hacking into the computers of members of Congress. So there was a little spying going on there. And we know that Debbie Wasserman Schultz kept Imran Awan on the payroll even after he had been stripped of his security clearance to work on the computers. She didn't let him go until the day that he was arrested trying to leave the country. So we have an espionage case suspected over in the State Department, and we have a suspected espionage operation going on in the Capitol building. What if they're both part of the same operation? What if Hillary was getting information not just from, there's the idea. Where was Hillary getting the information she was selling? From State Department files, certainly. But what if the Democrats, what if Debbie Wasserman Schultz was having Imran Awan pillage the computers of members of Congress and forwarding that information to Hillary to sell? I think it's a distinct possibility, and I think it's time that somebody gets in and finds out just what was going on with all those computers and private email servers and the information that was flowing through them. Story coming out of Global Research in California suggesting, and I agree, that Russiagate should be called Hillarygate because there is no Russian collusion with Donald Trump. It was Hillary. Hillary was colluding with Russia, supposedly, to build these dossiers, if we're to believe what the Clinton people are saying, and certainly with the Uranium One deal. There's the collusion. So no Russiagate investigation was warranted in terms of the Trump-Russia collusion. There never should have been a special counsel. The way Mueller was appointed was in direct violation of the normal procedures for a special counsel. There's supposed to be a regular internal Department of Justice investigation. If that investigation finds evidence a crime has taken place of sufficient magnitude to warrant a special counsel, then one is appointed. Didn't work that way. Rod Rosenstein simply tapped Robert Mueller on the shoulder and said, "Go get Trump for us." Maybe we need a Shiftgate investigation, looking at some of the ways he's been trying to obstruct and block what's going on. But I think a lot of people, well, we got to take a break for commercials. I have an opinion when we come on back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I think a lot of people, and I'm one of them, we're thrilled that the government is starting to acknowledge that we here in the independent media were right all along. You know, we're very happy that we're not simply being dismissed as a bunch of tinfoil hat-wearing, conspiracy, wacko, kook, crazy people. But I think now a lot of people are saying, okay, we were right. This stuff's been going on, and now the government is admitting it's going on. What's next? Where are the arrests? Where are the indictments? We don't need to do any more investigating. We've already got these people dead to rights on these criminal actions. Even former FBI Director James Comey admitted Hillary Clinton had violated several sections of Title 18. Let's stop digging here. Let's start the arrests and start the process of getting them into the court. Getting their day in court. And so there is this article that came on out of WorldNet Daily saying the same thing. It's time for the public to wake up and demand that either our attorney general snap out of his cowardly malaise or seek employment elsewhere. And if Sessions continues to refuse to do his job, the president would be totally justified in moving him to a Justice Department field office. Maybe someplace down there, in South Florida in the swamp and get somebody in that job who's going to do the job, somebody like Larry Klayman or Tom Fitton. Because we're tired of waiting. I have been waiting for justice to be done for almost a quarter of a century. I'm getting to be an old guy. I'd like to see it happen. It's on my bucket list. Hillary in prison. But it's infuriating, as well as being educational, to see just how many people in the federal government, what overwhelming majority percentage of people in that federal government are part of this web of corruption and looking out for each other. I'm sure you probably remember when you were going to high school, there was always the elite group of young kids who came from family money. And they were always getting away with things, and they would lie for each other, the cliques, the socias, whatever they're called today. And it would be infuriating because you knew what they were doing and how they were behaving. But nothing ever happened to them because they were always looking out for each other and lying to cover each other, and nothing could be done. This is exactly the same thing, grown up. Washington, D.C. is a giant clique of people who think they are automatically superior, who have this unshakable sense of entitlement to other people's money, no sense of morality, no sense of ethics, just this idea of just the object is to win no matter what. To heck with the rules, to heck with whoever we've got to kill. All just winning is everything. Winning the next round of funding, winning the next election, winning the popularity contest. It's all about self-aggrandizement. The evidence is out there to start putting some of these people in jail. And the sooner you start the prosecutions, the sooner you're going to get people who will panic and say, I am willing to become state's evidence. Now, I understand that from the GOP point of view, it is advantageous for them to draw this out over the next several months, leading toward the midterm elections in November. But there are times when I do get impatient about this. Okay, now, latest bizarre story coming on out. Apparently, Eric Holder has been asked if he was thinking about running for president in 2020, and he says he won't rule it out. Then he apparently followed on later by saying that James Comey made a mistake criticizing Clinton. So here we have another Clintonista who wants to protect Hillary Clinton and the deep state and the CIA's gun and drug running, and he's throwing his hat in the ring for 2020. Obviously not somebody that any sane person should consider voting for or supporting. Now, the other day we were talking about how Adam Schiff got pranked by these Russian comedians who called him and said they were aware that there were some nude photos of Donald Trump floating around, photos that had been taken in Russia. And Adam Schiff bought it, hook, line, and sinker, and sicked his entire staff, hunt these pictures down. And not only was it unethical for him to basically compromise himself that way, it revealed that his vendetta against Trump is leading him to make bad decisions. He lacks a certain amount of common sense. And now the Republicans are saying it's time for him to step down. He's clearly not competent if he got suckered this easy. And yeah, there's an issue of competency here. And not just with him. A while back, Maxine Waters got pranked by Russian comedians. They were out there talking about how the Russians had rigged the elections in Limpopo. And Waters promised to lend assistance to the deposed president of Limpopo, which is a fairy tale kingdom. It doesn't really exist. We'll be back after these commercials.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder what's a guy on Main Street to do. I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're going to talk about the war zones because that's still going on out there. It's not getting a lot of coverage here in the U.S. corporate media. Of course, everybody's gearing up for the Olympics, which starts tomorrow morning with the opening ceremonies. But there's a lot going on in Syria, and it looks like the U.S. and Israel are deliberately trying to escalate that conflict. We have this ridiculous contrivance of thinking by the United States, which claims that because they have invaded and occupied somebody else's country where they are not wanted, that they have a right to defend themselves by preemptively attacking the armed forces of that country. Now, of course, that's nonsense. When you invade somebody else's country, you're committing an act of war, and getting shot at is something that you have to expect is going to happen. Meanwhile, of course, Israel once again carried out a missile attack against Damascus from inside Lebanese airspace. So they're still cranking it up. The U.S. doesn't want to admit that they've lost, and they've been in Syria for all these years. They haven't been able to pull it off, getting rid of Assad. But as long as Congress is going to give the military more of your money, they're going to go on bombing these people who have done nothing wrong to us. Nobody can point to anything Syria has done as being in any way, shape, or form a threat to this country. It is simply the U.S. going on out and being aggressive just to be aggressive for financial reasons, for control of oil, for control of territory. Story coming out of, I don't actually have the source for this one again, but apparently Syrian hospitals are again being deliberately targeted. Rebels in the northern Idlib province and eastern Ghouta near Syria's capital Damascus are being hit with airstrikes despite mounting Western and UN pressure for a truce. And apparently they're hitting hospitals again, which is a war crime, by the way. Okay, so U.S.-led coalition struck Syrian army in Deir Ezzor. And, of course, this happened yesterday, and this is the attack that I was talking about, where the United States went on out and bombed these people and called it an act of self-defense. Now, that, of course, is completely and utterly ridiculous. The United States has no reason to be there. There's been no declaration of war by Congress. There is no Security Council resolution at the United Nations. The United States has no legal basis for being in Syria. The Syrian government doesn't want them there. The Russians don't want them there. Now the Turks don't want them there either. And apparently in this attack, the U.S. killed somewhere around 100 Syrian soldiers, claiming self-defense. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. The U.S. is in somebody else's country without that country's government's permission. And then you just haul off and attack the military forces and say, oh, they made us do it, mommy. It was self-defense. Really, we had no choice. Utterly absurd. Now, the other day we were talking about the huge cost of the war in Afghanistan. And we have been there for a very, very long time. And do you realize that the money spent on the war in Afghanistan just so far this year could end U.S. homelessness twice over? This is according to an article in Activist Post. Something that a lot of people really don't understand or appreciate is how expensive war is, how expensive military procurement is. And I got to see it when I was, first of all, working with NASA, and then later on when I was working with Robert Abel and Associates, and we actually landed a contract to provide some graphics for a demonstration of a concept for the Strategic Defense Initiative. And it's amazing. Normal human beings, like you and I, Claire, everybody, when we talk about money, we're talking about an eyedropper. And just a drop of water here for the electric bill, and a drop of water here for the mortgage payment, and a drop of water here for medical bills. The military have got fire hoses. It's just huge, vast sums of money going in there, and it is very wasteful. All right, let's take some phone calls here. Let's start with James in North Carolina. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon, Mike. I was just curious about some factors, some facts about the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. And one thing I found that I had no idea about is that all the judges, all 11 of the judges now serving, were appointed by Chief Justice John Roberts. Now, I don't know if there's any kind of oversight or how they're nominated or anything like that, but they were all appointed by John Roberts.
Well, that's directly contradicts the story that we had earlier in our program, where 10 of the 11 judges were appointed by Barack Obama.
Well, now they were all serving judges on various federal courts before being appointed to the FISA court. Now, they were appointed to the federal courts by Barack Obama, I think most of them, at least. I think there were a couple of them may have preceded him. But the actual appointment to the FISA courts, were all 11 of them were made by Chief Justice Roberts.
Okay. But I'm sure those 10 judges are still feeling an obligation toward Barack Obama. And we know that Judge Roberts himself may have been spied on and compromised because of the way that he did that about face on the Obamacare case when that went before the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up myself.
Yeah, he was opposed, and all of a sudden at the last minute turns around and says, yeah, it's okay under the Commerce Clause. And then he left town, went on vacation to Malta for a week to dodge the press firestorm.
Yeah, yeah. But that seems like here's the entire FISA court is basically in the pocket of one man. You know, that that's a bit worrisome.
It is worrisome, and it explains why the judge who issued the FISA warrant to spy on Trump and associates has not said it's invalid. It's the fruit of a poison tree.
Yeah, well, there's going to be increasing pressure to review that decision, to release the transcripts at least, and to review that decision. So what happens is to be seen.
Well, that's why Gohmert, I think, wants those the transcripts of the FISA hearing. But the judge himself, on learning that the dossier that was used to argue for the warrant was itself fraudulent, the judge at any time has the latitude to say the warrant is invalid and it's hereby rescinded. It just takes the judge issuing a judge's order saying the warrant is invalid.
I just thought I'd let you know how the FISA court was, how it was set up and how judges are chosen. And it's I got to say, it's not exactly comforting to know that everyone's picked out by one person.
Well, I think it's more significant that 10 of those 11 judges received their judgeships from Obama, because I'm sure they're feeling very loyal to him. And again, this whole mess that's been brought up against Donald Trump, all we find behind it are Clinton and Obama cronies just pushing it along. Anyway, James, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Steve Elkins. Steve, welcome back to the show. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was doing a little reading last night, and I started putting some things together, and I was going to throw it by you here. But I started thinking about the involvement from Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General. And looking back, he was appointed by George W. Bush and continued on with the Obama administration. And then Trump kept him on, which he probably shouldn't have done. Should have cleaned house and brought his own people in. But I got this funny suspicion that, of course, we understand that Rosenstein had whispered in Trump's ear to get rid of James Comey. And I think when he did that, he's working for the other side here. And that when he did that, he also helped the other side with now their obstruction of justice on his collusion with Russia. I think he's working on their side there. And of course, they put a lackey in there for the FBI director. Christopher Wray's a lackey. He's nothing. He's worth nothing. But I got a funny suspicion Rod Rosenstein's playing a bigger part in this whole thing of working on the other side.
Okay, when you say he's working on the other side, I know that you know what you mean. Who do you think he's really working for?
I think he's working for the DNC. I think he's working for the conspirators on this whole phony Russian dossier. I think he's working for he's not doing his job, first of all. But I think he planted that seed in Trump's mind to get rid of Comey, which he had every right to do because Comey was not doing his job. The AG wasn't doing her job with Loretta Lynch, so she had to go. Comey had to go because they weren't doing their jobs. So he had every right to do that, but I think he was also fueling this whole thing now of saying there's an obstruction of justice here because that's why he got rid of James Comey. I think he's trying to help the cause for the conspirators on this one.
Well, I wouldn't put it past him, but again, you're absolutely right. The president has the right to fire anybody for any reason or no reason whatsoever. And we know that Rod Rosenstein is working for the other side because of the very bizarre way he appointed Robert Mueller to be a special counsel. Rosenstein broke the rules. He didn't follow the procedure that you're supposed to follow. He just tapped Robert Mueller and said, go get Trump.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing here, you mentioned that there's no morals and no ethics. I would add, I agree with that 100%, but I would add, I think these conspirators, these Democrats who are going on this Russian conspiracy, could also say that their their motto would be the ends justify the means. They don't care. As long as they can get this guy out, get Donald Trump out, the ends justify the means. So find as much as they can find or just make up or manufacture to get him out of office, but... That's kind of where I look at that. Is the ends justify the means is probably their motto.
Yeah, I think that's probably true, and not just for the Democrats. I think it's something that all politicians will tend to follow. Anybody who's trying to climb in society, and they'll step on people on their way up and try and avoid them on the way back down. That's a common attitude you find in people who are just lusting after more money and power. The ends will justify the means. It's a gross self-deception, but it also comes out of that war mindset where to win is imperative and it doesn't matter how.
That's it, Mike. Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks. We're going to switch over to HB in FEMA Region 4. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. We talk about all this stuff all the time, and you've talked about it before, the War Powers Act of, what was it, 1939 or something like that?
Yes.
And so they've kind of suspended the Constitution since then. Do you think that's what they're using to not go by the Constitution? And let me hang this in there with it. Why come Trump hasn't done anything about getting our troops out of NATO command? I thought that was treason to put our troops in charge of, and somebody else in charge of our troops. You know, couldn't he rescind that with executive order and the NDAA, too?
Well, first of all, it's not treason if you put U.S. troops under foreign commanders who are on your side. And it's hardly the first time that it's been done. During the American Revolution, there were American soldiers who operated under the command of General Lafayette, who was an ally.
On our side, the U.N., is that who you were calling on our side? I don't think they're on our side.
Well, the U.N. is not supposed to be on anybody's side, but NATO definitely is supposed to be on the side of its member nations, although at the moment we have NATO nations fighting each other, which proves NATO doesn't work anymore.
I just don't like it. I don't like anything about it, and I don't know why Trump can't rescind that NDAA. That's totally unconstitutional.
Well, the NDAA is basically a bill that's passed by Congress, and Trump can't rescind that. All he could do is veto it, but apparently he didn't do that. Okay.
All right. One more thing, then I'll let you go. You mentioned something yesterday about there being a plane at the Pentagon on 9/11.
Yes.
Have you seen the plane there at the Pentagon?
No. The FBI grabbed all the videos from the security cameras in the region, and then they planted that story about no plane at the Pentagon to try and make anybody who questioned the official story of 9/11 look like an idiot.
But there wasn't a plane at the Pentagon, from what I gathered when we first started seeing the pictures.
Well,
look
at the eyewitness statements. I mean, hundreds of people saw the plane flying toward the Pentagon, and there should, in theory, be an equal number of witnesses who saw it flying away if it did not, in fact, hit the Pentagon.
They also told us that we saw two jets fly into the trade towers, too. I don't believe that.
Well, thank you very much for your unique, interesting perspective on the story. And we're going to let you go and switch over to Francis in North Carolina. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Francis,
hello,
are you there? Okay.
You're still there. Aloha to you both. I love that about Region 4, FEMA Region 4, that is. That was a good one. Two brief things. One about the military spending and so forth. I know that Ron Paul a few years back made a comment or a trying to get legislated about having the Federal Reserve audited, as it were, which basically
yes.
fell through like a lead balloon or whatever. It just didn't go anywhere, which was a good idea. But I'm wondering if perhaps it would have been better to have an audit done of the military-industrial complex instead, or a combination thereof, let alone the pharmaceutical-industrial complex, as a threefold deal, for that matter. Now, as for the thing about the FISA memo and all that kind of good stuff, I hear the whole commentary about going back to Hillary, going back to Obama, and so forth and so
okay,
on.
Okay, Francis. Francis, I'm sorry to cut you off. We got to take a break for commercials. Stay on the line. I'm going to come right back to you after these words from our sponsors.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, my name is Don Whiskey.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Francis in North Carolina, and I'm in agreement the Federal Reserve ought to be audited, but every time somebody suggests a full audit, of the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve drops dark hints about the economy collapsing entirely. And every time anybody talks about auditing the Defense Department, they come on back and say, well, you know, a lot of our money is spent on black projects and secret stuff, and we really can't have that out in public. They don't want accountability. And it's the same thing when somebody says it's time for another audit of the gold in Fort Knox. There's always a reason not to. And it's basically, it's part of this culture of trying to keep the American people from finding out what's really been going on. And I think the reason is obvious why the Federal Reserve doesn't want an audit. They don't want the American people to learn just how much real wealth the owners of the Federal Reserve have extracted from the labor of the American people using nothing more than colored ink and paper and numbers in a computer.
Pretty much. It's what you call, you don't want the truth to get out about what you've been doing behind the back and stabbing people in the same time. As far as the, on the flip side, as far as the FISA memo and all that kind of good stuff is concerned, if I recall correctly, when the Shrub Jr. had gone through into his first term of administration and so forth, and instilled what is called the Patriot Act, if I recall correctly, the FISA court, the FISA memos and all that that was instigated at that time occurred or was brought about or started at that time. Now, the question is, obviously, each DOJ, regardless of what administration comes into play, are going to either yay or nay about what is going to be allowed or not allowed to be done. So the question is, this could go even far back than even Hillary, Obama, or whoever cleaned back up the Shrub Jr. So the question is, how far back they want to dig, or do they really want to dig that far back?
Well, nobody wants to dig back that far, and certainly the Clintons don't want us digging back to what was going on in Arkansas in the 1980s. Now, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was actually passed in 1978, quite a bit before 9/11, so it wasn't a response to that. And basically,
yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, basically, it was to allow to give the illusion of some kind of judicial review to intelligence agencies who were spying on foreigners. The problem is that, as the name suggests, the FISA court only has jurisdiction outside the borders of the United States. But as we are learning now, FISA is weasel wording around the law to try and grant access to spy on the American people.
Imagine that. Well, the thing is, it's amazing how many things were set up legally to be taking place well before 9/11 ever occurred to start with, and how what kind of funky weave of a web they have created that's collapsing now. So the thing to me is a matter of collapse on. Have a good one.
I agree.
Later.
I absolutely agree here. Thank you very much. Okay, we're coming up here on our station identification. We got another caller waiting on the line. I'm going to wait until we come back from our station break for that. But Lawrence Wilkerson was chief of staff to former Secretary of State Colin Powell and helped craft the Pentagon, propaganda that said war with Iraq is the only option we've got. And now is out there saying the same propaganda is being written about Iran. We're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be back with a phone call after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.